Welcome back in, everybody, to Sports Daily. Jacob Albrock, Tommy Caster with you. Glad to be here with you on a Monday. We are glad to bring in a Royals insider for the Kansas City Star, Royals reporter Jalen Thompson, at Jalen Thompson on X. Jalen, welcome in. How are you? How's the offseason treating you?
Hey, guys. How are you guys doing?
We're good.
Offseason's been going good.
It's been going good for the Royals, I think, but it doesn't need to be done. So the last time we talked to you, they had just made the trade. They bring in India. They trade away Brady Singer. And they haven't really done anything else since then. Are we okay with that? I think I am. You got to let the big fish kind of go where they're going to land and then see what's left there. But there, you know, there does get to be a little bit of impatience to go that long without meaningful moves being made. Have we missed anything significant?
No, you haven't missed anything significant, Jacob. When you look at the Royals and what they want to do, they came into this offseason looking for pretty much three clear objectives. The first one was you want to get a leadoff hitter that can provide more opportunities for the big three of Bobby Witt Jr., Vinny Pasquantino, and Salvador Perez. They did that by getting Jonathan India. But at that expense, you had to give up someone like Brady Singer, who was your number four option coming into this upcoming season. So now you have two spots open you need to fill with your pitching staff. And the Royals feel good about that. They have Chris Bubis that they're converting back to a starter. They have Kyle Wright coming back from Tommy John surgery. They have Alec Marsh and Daniel Lynch IV. And they're really excited about Noah Cameron as well. They put him on the 40-man roster to protect them from the Rule 5 draft. So they have guys they can fill in that starting pitcher role. But it's going to be a competition, so that's kind of why you haven't seen them go out and really get another veteran starter. They still could do that. Maybe a guy like Michael Lorenzen, we mentioned him on the last time I was on here, he could be a guy. He's still out there, but he's looking pretty athletic to be a two-way player. So if that doesn't work out, then maybe he's a fit. So that's primarily the reason why the Royals haven't really been making moves in the trade market or really in free agency. And they did just sign Kevon Biggio to a minor league deal yesterday. So that's something that also checked the box for them.
I wanted to ask you, Jalen, about Biggio. And he was a guy that, I mean, top prospect for sure coming through the minors and looked to be, you know, following in his father's footsteps when he played for the Blue Jays and was really productive when he got started with the Blue Jays organization and all of that. But things kind of fell apart for him a couple of years ago. He was designated for assignment, has kind of bounced around a few different places. I know he's very versatile, but do you think he's somebody that could latch on with the Royals organization and actually be a difference maker for them?
Yeah, Tommy, I think that with Kevon Biggio, you look at the baseball pedigree. You mentioned his father, Craig Biggio, is a Hall of Famer. He has all the tools. I mean, you look at his rookie season in 2019. He had a really productive year for the Toronto Blue Jays, finished fifth in AL Rookie of the Year voting. But since then, the numbers are kind of just haven't been at that same level. So it's very low risk, high reward potentially for the Royals. They were looking for someone that could be that left-handed hitting option that could play third base or pretty much anywhere around the infield. And he's a super utility guy. He can pretty much play anywhere on the field. And for the Royals, a manager, Matt Quatrero, he loves versatility. It's something that he can put a guy in any spot and have them perform. And you saw that last year when he gave starts to Gary Hampson and Adam Frazier. The thing for Biggio is going to be, can he hit and be more productive in the lineup? He bounced around with the Blue Jays, the Los Angeles Dodgers, and the Atlanta Braves last year, and he really just couldn't latch on. So if the Royals can figure out a way to help him be more consistent at the plate and use his defensive versatility, they might have had someone on a minor league contract that they can use.
Yeah, I mean, it's the right kind of deal for a team like the Royals, I think. I want to go back to Michael Lorenzen. So the two-way player thing you mentioned, it sounds like it's only to help the team avoid a pitcher restriction. So I don't think Lorenzen's saying, I want to play in the outfield. I think he's just trying to do like the Shohei Ohtani thing where a team doesn't kind of get – but I don't know what the money's going to look like for him, but I would love to see him back in Kansas City. Even if he's not a starter, which I think he would be ultimately, he's still a good reliever at the same time. Like, bring him in and let him do either, but I would feel much more confident. I don't like going into a season where 40% of your starting rotation are what ifs, right? Well, what if Chris Bubich is good? What if Daniel Lynch can finally take the next step? What if Kyle Wright's healthy? I'd rather have something a little more solid in there. I love the idea of bringing Lorenzen back.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you on that one. Michael Lorenzen is a pitcher and a player that has a lot of respect within the Royals organization. I mean, when they acquired him, they all raved about his ability to come in and pitch whenever you need him to. He could be a starter. He could be a reliever. Before he was acquired by the Royals, he was with the Rangers, and he pitched one day as a starter, and then the next day he came in and gave you more relief innings. So that just shows the type of competitor that he is, and he's someone that he really took to being in that World's clubhouse last year down the stretch. I mean, a lot of guys came to him, and they just leaned on his veteran expertise, same that they did with Seth Lugo and Michael Walker. But just to have someone in there that is a gamer, I think every team needs that. And I think Michael Lorenzen, for what the Royals want in that swing position where he could be a starter or a reliever, he is the best fit for that role, I believe, for the Royals.
When you were talking about Biggio, Jalen, you mentioned how the big question is going to be, can he regain his form offensively? Mm-hmm. Can he contribute in the lineup to the Royals? I think that's a huge question mark, not just for Biggio, but in general for the Royals offensively, outside of Witt, outside of Perez, outside of Pasquantino. What can they do offensively? Do you think, and I know really not a whole lot's been done in this offseason, do you think that J.J. Piccolo has got to go and try to find another bat in the lineup to help get more offense, maybe even down at the bottom of that lineup?
I think that would help. I really do. But when you listen to what J.J. Piccolo said throughout the end of the year press conferences and winter meetings and things of that nature, he always came back to our younger hitters have to continue to mature. And when he mentions that, he's talking about MJ Melendez. He's talking about Mikel Garcia. He's talking about Michael Massey even. Just those guys getting more and more experience in the lineup, seeing more and more pitching years and years as being a big leaguer. You just get better as you go through it. And I think for the Royals, last year, they were ahead of schedule. They lost 106 games in 2023. Then they won 86 last year. That's a 30-win improvement. They are on track now. I think they are in an area where this is where the team they want to be. This is how they want to lean on starting pitching and defense. And I think the hitting will come. And I think if the Royals find a deal that is of their liking, they will pursue it. But really, it's going to come down to those younger guys that are just now getting into their third, fourth, and fifth year in the big leagues producing. And if they can get one of MJ Melendez or Mikel Garcia to experience a breakout and take that next step forward, then I think they have the hitting that they need to go further and win the American League Central.
All right. With that being said, Jalen Thompson joining us, the KC Star Royals reporter, our Royals insider moving forward. Very excited about that. If the Royals have another headline type move to make, where do you think it'll be?
I think it will be an outfielder. I think more or less probably an outfielder that could be potentially a bench option or someone that can potentially get you starts in the field. So maybe someone that may not be top of the line, but someone that is productive. So you think about what the Royals did last year. They played several different veterans down the stretch. You had Yuli Gurriel drawing starts. That was probably because of Vinny Pasquantino's injury. But you also had Tommy Pham that drew starts in the outfield. And they mixed and matched there with Melendez, Tommy Pham, Hunter Renfroe, and the like. So it might be something where they go and get a veteran outfielder just to compete for a spot on the bench and add that versatility. Remember, you still have to fill out your bench a little bit because you lost a lot of guys. Right now, you're looking at Freddie Fermin. You're looking at possibly Joey Weimer if he can make the team out of spring training and doesn't start in AAA. But then after that, you really don't have another guy or so on the bench. Maybe Deron Blanco, but he's there for the speed aspect of things. So you really got to put those last couple of spots together. And I think that as January goes forward and into February before the pitchers and catchers report on February 12th for spring training in Surprise, Arizona, they might potentially get another bat or two just to round out the roster.
I'm with you. I think that's the most likely. I still hope it's a pitcher. Jalen, we appreciate it. We'll do this again next week. I think we are getting into the point where the Royals are in move-making territory. These headline guys continue to go. We appreciate your insight. Check out Jalen's work at the KC Star. You can follow him on X at Jalen T. Thompson. Jalen, thanks for being here with us this morning.
Thank you, Jacob and Tommy. I appreciated the opportunity, and I'll see you guys next week.
Sounds good. Love having it. Tommy, how good is it to have Royals talk like this in January? It has been so long, and I'm so hot. I'm so excited that we're back to like relevant free agency in these days.
It's been great, a long, long time since I've been excited for spring training. Like I'm counting down the days until Royals spring training.
With legitimate like playoff implication type roster decisions being made, it's been almost a decade. It's been so long. It's been like 8 years, 7 years. And they surprised us last year with those moves. And look, it led them back to the postseason. We got just a handful of minutes here tonight. So a reminder, if everything goes as planned, we have not heard anything yet to indicate that it will not. The Shockers will play tonight. Coverage begins at 5 o'clock over on KYN again, South Florida. We sort of laid that out for you. You got to have it. Now, it's game two of an AAC schedule, and Wichita State is not going to be an at-large, but they got to have it today. Got to have it. This has to reset the momentum for this program, and we must avoid what we saw last year.
Yeah, like I said earlier this hour, the difference, the fine line between good and great teams is how they can win when they have a lead. And of course, being back home, you would anticipate that against a team like South Florida that you should have the lead late in the game. Hopefully, they've learned their lesson from what happened Friday night against Temple. They can close out South Florida. They can get a win. They can move to 1-1 in conference play.
And be ready, too, as we get to this part of the college basketball season. Like, the playoffs for the NFL are here. We're down to the semifinals in the college football. But we are to that point where we get consistent college basketball, and we've got games basically every night or almost every night. A couple other quick programming notes for you. Reminders, the debut of the Rich Eisen Show here on KFH is at 11 o'clock today. Jim Rome moves now, his big move, 2 o'clock. And then you'll get Bob and Jeff back in drive time. 4 to 6 regularly. They'll go 4 to 5 today, assuming the Shockers play. So there's a new
five
lineup
to six,
here.
Actually, on the 5 to 6.
Yeah,
because Jim Rome goes from 2 to 5, and then Bob and Jeff 5 to 6.
Yeah, there you go. So we'll have all kinds of stuff there. So it's a shift here on the Kansas Fan headquarters. Looking forward to it. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're ready for it. We'll be back tomorrow with more insiders for you. We appreciate everybody that's watching us on the stream right now and continuing to listen to us. Stay safe out there.
Yeah,
everybody. These roads suck. They suck.
Not a day to get out there and drive around. I mean, the sun is out, which is good, but the roads are still pretty bad. So if you don't have to be out, stay home.
Yep. Sports Daily is with you here, continuing into 9 o'clock hour. Look forward to the Rich Eisen debut today as well. For Tommy, I'm Jacob. Don't go away.